Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Israel to the world, and you're a part of it wherever you are. Shalom, and welcome to Ben-Gurion Airport. That's right, I'm broadcasting or recording here in the airport, and this has been a day of unbelievable in-transit mess and confusion and recurring stuckednesses with pockets of time where you're in limbo, neither here nor there. Right now, I'm on the way to Turkey. And I feel like a turkey a little bit because I've been cooked in these funny airplanes. What has happened is basically that my airplane was supposed to leave at 1 in the morning. Some passenger got off, and they had to do a security check of all the bags again. Anyway, we missed the window of takeoff, which is limited to 2 a.m. here in Ben-Gurion Airport. And I'm waiting now till 5 a.m. for the next takeoff. And this is in line with the rest of the funny day, which I had. It's going to be kind of funny for you to believe this, but I left New York with my whole family from JFK. And I was with my whole family. And we flew to Israel via Moscow. In a bid to save a few bucks, we connected through Moscow on an airline called Airfloat. Well, Airfloat was delayed 4 hours out of JFK, and then in Moscow was also delayed about 4 hours. And so, basically, I've been stuck in different places all day. I landed here, put my family in our family car, and then stayed in the airport to catch this flight. I was on the flight and then had to get off the flight. In the meantime, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if I could bang out a show for you guys and say hi? And there's a lot to talk about. First thing I want to say that it's great to be broadcasting again here on the Land of Israel Network. I missed the show last week due to Shavuot, because I was second day of Shavuot in America. I was with Rabbi Eli Michel in the Suburban Torah Center of Livingston, New Jersey. That's where I was scholar in residence. And since I was coming there, not for personal business that I needed to stay at the community or something like that, I was actually coming to be with the community, I kept the Chabad style of how to deal with the second days by basically keeping it as a second day because I was with a community that I came to speak with and connect with. And that's part of my job, to be a bridge across the Atlantic, holding hands across the Atlantic. That's one of my concepts. And that's what I did, and so therefore I couldn't do the show last week. And I was also in the United States for fantastic family time. My and the reason I only tell you this, because I think it has Jewish value in general, and that is that my three children got to spend real time with their great-grandparents, both Holocaust survivors, with numbers tattooed on their arms, and they got to spend true quality time with their great-grandparents. How many of us can really say that we had really quality time with our great-grandparents, not just our grandparents? And that's good enough. You know, so many people in my parents' generation didn't even get time to spend with their grandparents, let alone spend quality time with the great-grandparents. So that was really fabulous. And on Shabbat, Shavuot, I was in Livingston, and on Shabbat, I was in Englewood with a big Jewish community there. I spoke once, but I made a lot of connections there, and that's definitely a place that I want to get out to and connect with a lot of the pro-Israel Jews that are there. And then Sunday, one of the most important events in pro-Israel Jewry in America, that is the Israel Day Parade. And this year, Hebron, the organization that I work with, the Jewish community of Hebron, Hebron, had a beautiful float down Fifth Avenue. And I had one of those moments in life, you know what I'm talking about, like a moment that somehow etches itself in your mind. I actually have a strangely poor memory. Many bits of information that are pertinent at the time kind of slip away from my mind. I don't hold on to things too much. My brain somehow doesn't try to hold on to a lot of kinds of memories. But sometimes a certain memory will just like etch itself. And what happened was is that when we got onto the float, they asked me to take the mic, and we had music booming out, and over that, overlaid audio-wise, over the music, the Chevron, you know, pump and dance, happy music, was my microphoning, and I totally didn't even know that I was supposed to be doing that day, and I just, like, went at it, and I I took the mic and I just gave these short little bursts of information, like Hebron, first capital of Israel. Hebron, home of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Becca, and Leah. Follow your grandparents. Visit Bubby and Zadie. Take those kids and visit Bubby and Zadie. Don't forget Kibbutz Avan. Don't forget to connect to the first capital of Israel. Don't forget to connect to King David and his first kingdom in Hebron, where he was crowned king over all of Israel. And other such messages, all the kind of short, pithy messages that I could come up with about what Hebron's really about. And the etching of the memory that I was talking about was this picture of throngs of pro-Israel Jews, and in front of me, on the sides, and in front of me I see this incredible procession of flags of Israel down Fifth Avenue. Now, you know, the hardcore Zionist in me, you know, wants to see all Jews in Israel. And I certainly have that part in me, absolutely. But the Ohev Israel, the lover of Israel, and the educator side, and the one who, the side of me that sees the importance of some uniting around something, it was an incredible sight to see down this great big, you know, avenue, boulevard called Fifth Avenue, and to see just Jews coming out and so many young people. American Jewry has still a lot of life in it, for sure. And we have to honor that, respect that, and make sure we connect to that. I'd like to add one more point to that parade. It was only a few days before, the day before that parade, that there was a horrific attack in London, London Bridge. And you may have thought that the parade organizers or the police or the FBI or somebody would shut down the parade and say, listen, it's too much of a danger. And instead, I saw such a show of force by New York City police and all the other security arms there. They secured it. They didn't shut it down. They secured it. And every street that led into Fifth Avenue was blocked by a garbage truck. But it's not like the police were frisking everybody down and it was some kind of, like, fear thing. No. It was totally like they were going to let you parade and they weren't going to let anybody stop us. And I just love seeing displays of courage. You don't even know. When I see such dedication to making sure that things go right, that we keep going straight, I love that. For example, walls, too many walls of defense, I hate. Because when you put up walls, what you're saying is, everything belongs to the bad guys up to this wall. And it's a show of cowardice, a show of fear. But guards, let's say guards on trains here in Jerusalem or in buses, I like that. Because it's a show of firepower, of ability, of fearlessness. So that is what I saw down Fifth Avenue. I saw courage and I saw love of Israel. And I was there, you know, and I was broadcasting the message. So that was very special for me, I have to say. Shabbat in Englewood as well. Grandparents with the numbers tattooed on their arms, still alive, and still sharp, still right there, still people that the children found it valuable to talk with them. At the parade itself, got to see a lot of Chevron's supporters, and that was a lot of fun to see a lot of our friends at the parade, and a lot of my friends came to be on the parade with me. My good friend Jeff Cohen. And also my good friend Andy Wells was there as well. And Andy is right now in Shiva. Excuse me, not in Shiva, in the year of passing for his mother. And he wrote us an email a few weeks ago saying, I want to thank you, Yishai, Rabbi Mike Foyer, Ari and Jeremy, for your weekly shows that have brought me to a new level of understanding of Judaism. I did not fully appreciate how they have affected me until recently when I was helping my mother through her final days and after she passed during the Shiva. And later on he sent me the bereavement notice to his mother, Theda Teddy Glickman Wells. And the most beautiful thing about Teddy Wells, I don't know her in life, but I was so moved by the following thing that Andy and his family sent out in this bereavement notice. He said, in lieu of flowers, the family asks for consideration of tzedakah to the Hebron Fund with a link. I was just so moved by that because, you know, it's the same thing that I was talking about marching down Fifth Avenue. It's like here's a life that wants to really, in life and then in death, connect to the everlasting life, the eternal story of the Jewish people, the other mothers and fathers. It's like hey, look at me. I've gone from this world, and I want you to connect to the founders of our peoplehood, to the originators of it all. They left this world seemingly, but they're still with us, and I want you to connect to that. I don't know. To me, it's like really stringing yourself in the string of life, in the pearls of the string of life. So we honor the memory of Andy's mother, Teddy. That was like her nickname. It's Theta, and beautiful, you know, her neshama should have an aliyah, and it was awesome to see Andy and his family and his children on the Hebron float, and honoring that the will of their mom and their grandmother. There's something about I guess what's coming through is generations. You know, that's for me, like hanging out with the great grandparents. For my children, just that my children saw those generations before them, and I know this sounds so trite, but I went over to my grandma, who's actually my wife's grandma, and I said to her, "Hitler, you lose, we win," and she laughed, and then I was like, "No, I mean," and she's like, "Yeah," she's like, "I wasn't laughing, I was, yeah, we win, and you lose, Hitler, Hitler, you lose." We could totally have a sticker like that here in Israel. Like Israel equals Hitler, you lose. Right? I think that's a very, I don't know. You could come up with some better formulation than that. You have to remember that I have not slept normally in a very, very long time, it seems like. And it's like, it's late at night here. I don't know what time anything is, and I still have to get my way to Turkey. So, let's just shift to a different topic for a second, and that is the topic of some of the stuff that I got to talk about over Shavuot. I gave 5 or 6 classes, and I just want to talk about 2 classes that I gave there. One class I gave at 2:30 in the morning on Shavuot night was, again, my class on 5 alternatives to the 2-state solution. And what I want to talk about here for a second is not the alternatives themselves, but I want to just make a small point about something that's ailing the Jewish world today. When a person doesn't have answers, then he ends up wanting to distance himself from the question. If, let's say, you have liberal tendencies and somebody accuses Israel of being an illiberal entity, and you don't have answers to that accusation, then you're going to end up just distancing yourself away or trying to pass through a gate that there's some kind of blockage at. And because you just can't pass through that gate, you don't have an answer to it, so you kind of stop bumping into a wall, and you decide, I don't want to deal with this, and I need to distance myself. Worst case scenario is that you actually start to believe those lies. But the average case scenario is that you just don't have the right answers, and therefore you just distance yourself. One of the things that I noticed that happens when I give this 5 alternatives to a 2-state solution talk is not so much the people are like convinced that there's solutions. They're like, oh, there's answers to the accusations. This makes sense to me. And therefore, I can go on with my love of Israel. I can go on accepting that there's certain problems, but it's all right. And that Israel's a good place, a great place, and I can be proud of it. And they can get back on track of loving Israel. This is something that I find to be a tremendously pernicious weapon of our enemies, is that they've made it hard to love Israel. And that's what they're very good at, the enemies of Israel. They make it hard to say things because they suddenly sound, patriarchal or misogynistic. You say, we've got to be strong. Well, you know, we have to be, we have to treat this issue in a masculine fashion. And I say to them, not in a male, like men fashion, just in an aggressive, strong fashion. Well, you can't say that. And they've taken away the words, and they've taken away the right to have certain feelings. And to just give that back to people is a tremendous blessing. The other class that I gave was about Shavuot and the period that led up to the name of the holiday, which is the weeks, and the stuff that happened throughout these weeks. And I went through Yom HaShoah, Israel, when Israel remembers the Holocaust, Holocaust Memorial Day here in Israel. And from Yom HaShoah to Yom HaZikaron, Israeli Memorial Day. From Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaAtzmaut, Israeli Independence Day, which is the independence of our body. And then and then Pesach Sheni, which is, as I've always talked about on this show, and this, by the way, it's in this week's Torah portion, it's Pesach Sheni is about wanting more, wanting a connection with God, and not being willing to take a reduced version of that, but wanting the highest, fullest version of that. And then to Yom Yerushalayim. Wait, did I miss one? Yeah, I missed one. Lag BaOmer, which is the victory of our Torah and of our way of life over the Greek way of life, the Greco-Roman way of life. And then the victory of Yom Yerushalayim, which is bringing together heaven and earth, bringing together the victory of our body with the victory of our soul. Yerushalayim is the place where we can really serve God fully. And then finally, out to Shavuot, and this whole period of the victory of the Jewish story and the victory of Torah, the victory of God in this world, in independence and freedom and liberty. When I gave this kind of class where I reviewed, people said to me, "Well, thank you so much for bringing it all back, because sometimes it's like a blur and there's like a blip on the radar and you don't tie it in all together." And you know, Shavuot is this great climax of all these meaningful things into one. And the reason Rabbi Elie Michel brought me out to Livingston for Shavuot was because he wanted people to have that feeling, especially with the Jubilee year of Yom Yerushalayim this year, of celebrating Jerusalem and the liberation of Judea and Samaria and the reunification of Jerusalem. We call it the Hebron Fund, what do they call those? The wristbands. It had a simple slogan this year, 4,000 plus 50. Right, 4,000 years plus another 50 years of recent liberation, and putting it all into perspective, and also getting the effect of the combined effect of all those holidays as one powerful time era, kind of one time region, is very powerful. And that is what the Jewish people we're celebrating now in all these holidays, and especially with the liberation, with the 50-year celebration. Folks, I want to hear from you wherever you are. I am here en route to Turkey. Oh, why is Yishai going to Turkey, you wonder, right? Well, there's going to be an iftar dinner, which is a Ramadan. It is also Ramadan right now. And there's going to be a Ramadan dinner. And that Ramadan dinner is for some Turkish Muslims who believe in reconciliation and peace with Israel. They don't just believe in peace with Israel, they believe in a third temple. They believe that Israel is a key to good energy in the Middle East in the future. And that's absolutely right. And the people themselves are a bit unusual, and some have accused them of being cultish. But the bottom line is that there are even people in Turkey, and I'm supposed to be heading out to them, and a lot of other Israeli folks and important leaders like Rabbi David Stav are going to be joining this iftar dinner. So I'm that's where I'm on route to, and I just didn't want to miss that opportunity. But who knows why I've been delayed. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, as I was being delayed just about 30-40 minutes ago, I saw somebody I know who's a great martial arts teacher, and he was getting himself a burger at like 4 in the morning, and it is right now it's 3:20 in the morning, so he was getting a burger at about like 2:30 3 in the morning, and And I invited him to sit down next to me. He had this big, giant Coca-Cola. The minute he sits down, this Coca-Cola tips right out of his tray, and some of it made its way onto my pants. It's just been that kind of day. But my reaction was just to laugh, and, of course, get some napkins and try to wipe myself off yet again after having dealt with my kids on the flight, obviously getting dirty then. And all that it entails to have transcontinental stopovers in funky places in the world. And the world is a beautiful place. Airports are beautiful places, but there is no place like home. Oh, I forgot to tell you, when I was in New Jersey, we also had to entertain the kids, and we did some mini-golfing, like at a really high-level mini-golf in Flanders, New Jersey, called the Golf Zone. And this is not an ad for them, but it was a really good mini-golf. And I remembered the Adam Sandler movie about golf. I think it was called Happy Gilmore. And this movie had a little segment that I always liked, which is that he's yelling at his little golf ball saying, "Are you too good for your home? Go home." And so that's always been a humorous thing for me. And even when I was trying to putter around over there in mini golf, I was just telling the ball, "Go home." And I can tell you that sitting here in Ben Gurion Airport, I'm looking forward to going to Turkey, but I'm also just a tad dreading it because there's no place like home. And it was just, you know, New Jersey was wonderful and beautiful and lush and green, and the houses were fabulous and everything was just great and less tension and more, you know, and more pleasant rain and nice things. But you know what? All those, and shopping, of course, and all that. But you know what? At the end, friends, there's no place like home. There is no place like home. I hate to use such a kitschy phrase, but there's no place like home. And I'm not too good for my home. I like to go home. I want to be home. And I want to love my home. And I think we should all love our home even more. And to remind people that this is the greatest project of the Jewish people in 2,000 years. The level of depth that Israel is, what it actually means, and no matter how much I've been agitating and protesting about this issue, it really doesn't even scratch the surface. The enormity of this moment and this and our time is so, it's staggering. And we have to do everything in our power to connect to it. We have to do everything in our power to lead it, to bring it to fruition, to harbor pilot it in, you know, like those harbor pilots that come into a boat and bring a big boat into dock, out of a port. We've got to bring it into port. And also, on the one hand, we have to lead it, we have to make sure it happens, and also on the other side, we have to make sure not to miss it, not to miss being part of it. And if God decided that he would give us the chance to live a life at this time, if this body and this soul in this body, we have to take that gift as much as we can, and we have to use it as much as we can. Thank you, God, for Israel. Thank you, the Land of Israel Network, for letting us broadcast here. Thank you very much, my friends out there, wherever you are. I'd love to hear from you. Yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Also, remember, if you ever want to bring me to your community, and I do like to fly around to the world. It's hard. It's really hard, but it's also so rewarding. If you're like me, and you know, I feel that my mission, in part anyway, is to make sure that we don't lose one another, and embrace each other this time, and have that kind of achdut. The real key to unity, achdut, is love. We gotta have love for Am Yisrael. That's not always easy, friends. It's not always easy. But then God is making it easier than ever before, and he's making it easier than ever before to not lose connection through this incredible, these incredible places like Ben Gurion Airport and these wings of eagles that send us out to connect to one another. So I send you my love and my embrace, friends. Write me an email, yishai@thelandofisrael.com, and be part of this amazing story. I want to wish you luck. I want to wish you success. I want to wish you health. I want to wish you connectivity, and send it from your forefathers and mothers down to your children and great-grandchildren. Send it all down, connect through the ages, and connect with me, and most importantly, connect with this network, but really, most importantly, connect with the land of connect with the land of Israel, and most importantly, connect with the God of Israel, who's broadcasting 24/7. God bless you, folks. I send you my blessings from Ben Gurion Airport, and I can't wait until this airport brings you closer to me, to Jerusalem, to Israel, and really to yourself. God bless you. I love you, and shalom.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center. The view, the location, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
Josh Haston here, host of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Radio Network at thelandofisrael.com. Make sure you check out my show every Monday, bringing you the news unfiltered and uncensored, information that you are not getting anywhere else, especially not in the mainstream media.
Israel Uncensored with Josh Haston on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.